Gino's got an interesting look with his helmet off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got an interesting look. I like Gino though.
I'm so happy for him and what his career has done.
Oh, you know,
talk about sticking with it and then finally getting your deal. And he's played decently well.
Well,
it goes to my point yesterday where I was like, nobody wants to play quarterback for the Jets.
But
like, it's just not a good place to be.
But he's also, you're so right on that. But he's also, he's what's wrong with the NFL game right now. And sports in general, where we don't give time. And John Smoltz has said it time and time. Every time John Smoltz comes on a radio show, or every time I hear him interviewed, he says, had I pitched in today's era, I would have been, moved on and doing something else. Because there's no patience. And people have zero patience with players and coaches, et cetera. And Geno Smith is a perfect example. He was in a system that did him no favors in college. As far as the NFL game,
What do you mean by that?
I think the system, it was completely different from when he went into New York.
No doubt about that.
And I think that system in college basically catered to the players and his skills to just win, and he didn't learn the game. And I don't think I think the helmets, headsets and the helmets now. Yeah. I think it's going to be the best thing for development of young quarterbacks because you can talk to them up to 15 seconds, and I hope that we see so less of the hurry up to the line and then stand and look for 30 seconds at play cards. And,
right.
and I hope that they talk guys through, what are you seeing? Hey, you see that two safety look?
That's like, a good point.
Like, I hope that there's really coaching until 15 seconds, and then they go. But I just think Geno Smith could have been this in New York had they had patience, better coaches, better systems around it. Joel Klatt said the dumbest thing I've ever heard someone say about the NFL, and he said that coaching does not matter in the NFL. He said it on that little loudmouth guy on Fox's show that they give all the money to in the afternoons. And he goes, yeah, coaching doesn't matter. It's all about quarterbacks. Look at the quarterbacks that win. Look at Brady or Belichick without Brady. And there's a lot of truth to that, but there's so much wrong about that. Yeah, quarterbacks win, but the reality of the situation is they have to go and have the right coaches with them. You have to have.
Well, look at Baker.
Exactly.
Well, how about this one, Sam Darnold?
Yes.
How about that one?
Exactly.
That's
proof that coaching matters.
Thing I've ever heard.
And Mike, take it a step further. It's not just coaching. It's who the coaches put in. In those systems, like the strength and conditioning coaches and all these programs.
And that's what – and I've fought back against whatever Klatt is talking about, whatever his narrative is. I've fought back against that for years to where I don't think people understand. And I say this to Falcons fans and just fans in general, how big development is in the NFL. Like, and I'm not talking about just – Rob, I'm not talking about from a cerebral perspective of reading defenses. Obviously, that's best for the quarterback. But these guys show up, and a lot of times it's like, well, you know, he'll fill out. He's a light, he's 20. He's 20 years old, like Kyle Pitts, prime example. 20 years old, he's going to hit another gear. If you don't continue to work out and do all the same things and keep the same guardrails that you had throughout that college program that was a year-round program that had somebody looking over your shoulder every step of the way, when you finish your season in the NFL in January and they say, hey, we'll see you in April – if you don't continue to do all those things that got you to that level, you're going to come into training camp and people are going to go, what's wrong with this dude? Like, why is he a step slow? Why is his team regressed? And there's usually a reason for that. So, yeah, development in all phases, not just reading defenses and stuff, is a massive part of what the NFL is and what some teams tend to get wrong. It's just, it's not as easy as saying, well, this guy was a bust, that guy was a bust. I talk about with the Jets all the time. Would you want, if you were the number one pick in the draft, would you want the Jets to select you at quarterback? Absolutely freaking not.
No.
No.
Go look at last night's game, to your point. Geno Smith, a guy that was had a bad situation and then was able to develop with the right people around him and learning various systems. And then go to the other side, Brock Purdy. Who I watched Brock Purdy's whole career at Iowa State. I watched a lot of his games with Arch when we're on the road, Rob, and you know how that goes. And Brock Purdy was the last player drafted, and he is a freaking stud in the NFL. He made a throw last night to George Kittle in that corner of the end zone. It's a little bench route, corner route.
Made a couple of them,
and it's unbelievable. He is the product of he's got good players around him, but he's also got the best offensive coordinator in the NFL. and the best play caller in the NFL offensively right now, that's Kyle Shanahan. And that, look at the difference it made in the last Mr. Irrelevant. That's why when Joel Klatt says that stuff, I'm like, you can't believe the garbage that comes out of your mouth sometimes.
Well, and here's the thing, I'm not as big a Klatt hater as some, but it's he's out of pocket. And Rob, I think you'll agree with this. I think what Shanahan did with Brock Purdy is exactly what Arthur Smith thought he might be able to do with D. Ritty, the Cincinnati kid.
Right.
He's like, well, my offensive scheme will take over. And, you know, I just need somebody to get the ball to where I want it to go. I don't necessarily need him to make all these reads. I'm going to simply – remember we heard Ray McLeod talking about that this preseason. He's like, you know, the 49ers, it's different because we scheme up to get it to one guy. And in Atlanta, it's kind of like, hey, let's read the defense and let's see where the defense lets us go with it. And I thought that was very intriguing. I think that both styles can work, and obviously they have here recently.
Being reactionary, inflicting your will.
Yeah, but I think, to the point, I think Kyle Shanahan does a good job of saying, look, Brock Purdy can get it from A to B, and he can do some things with his legs. He's a magician with his legs at times, and we'll see what happens when we roll it out there.
Well, that's what I hope that we see from Zach Robinson as he progresses, is the figure, you know, taking what defense has given you and exploiting it. I think they did a good job on the last week on Thursday night of doing that. And you know what? They're banged up. Kirk's processing. His anticipation is there. They're giving us this. Let's let it eat. Let's call these plays to get all these guys in the ball. And I think it works. I think you can over, you know, some guys overthink it. But I said to Arch the other day, and he didn't disagree with me. So it doesn't mean he necessarily agrees. But he didn't tell me I was an idiot. Which
well, he probably wasn't
lot,
listening.
No, he was listening. We were making eye contact. We were on the plane. I got his attention.
Eye contact.
It's I want to make sure he was listening.
You have a candle too.
No, we had Jake in between us, our engineer. So,
it's just good.
Yeah, but I really do. The more and more I'm around the NFL game, the difference in 7 and 10 and 10 and 7 is coaching. Because I think there are some bad teams out there, but the reality is the games are too close, and the salary cap, the way it's structured, the teams are the talent is too close. I mean, there is just not a big difference. That's why there's so many close games. And I think coaching sometimes sets that apart. Yeah, X factors. But when you get the X factor like Patrick Mahomes, that's why you win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years.